Thank you for asking me to be the speaker today. Get numbers out of the way. My starting weight, my highest weight was 550 pounds. As of my last weigh-in a couple days ago, I'm down to 221. I've lost over 320 something pounds. I've been in a healthy body weight for about 3 years now. Per a doctor and my sponsor, I have a sponsor. I sponsor, and I have a home group. And I just celebrated last month 4 years of black and white abstinence. I've been here since 2020, but I lied, and I'll get into that. I'm going to share some pictures because my sponsor tells me it's good, and also they're kind of funny. So I'm just going to share a few of these. All right, so this was me when I first visited California, and then the next one's great. This is me on a couch. I used to go to these music festivals a lot, and that was me on there. Everyone should be turning their head sideways. I don't know which way is up. And that was me at that music festival. I'm not any of the people in a black shirt. And then this is when I got to visit my dad out in Thailand. That was really cool as my biological dad, so I got to like meet him. That's a whole story itself. This was me and my now wife when I proposed to her in Italy. And this is me on my wedding day. And all the stuff that I showed you, I got to do in abstinence. So let me just stop sharing this. So what it was like, it was pretty rough. I was never like at a healthy body weight. I don't have the story of like being really thin or just, you know, being regular sized and then gaining a bunch of weight later in life. I was always really fat. By the time I was out of high school, I was over 500 pounds. So like I don't have the experience of ever being at a regular body weight until when I got into program. Me and my wife were just talking about it the other day. She was like, "Were you fat when you did this?" And I was like, I was always fat, like always. I tried everything, you know, like I tried all the diets. I never did any of the surgeries. And I don't shit on anybody that had to do the surgeries or chose to do it. I saw a lot of people on the outside of my friends, of my friend group. They got the surgery and they ended up gaining the weight back pretty quick. And I never had any type of language of recovery or, you know, addiction to food, but something told me that like the surgery was not going to be the answer. I thought I would be the answer, but like something about like me getting the surgery, it just didn't make sense. Even in my delusional mind. So I never did it. But I tried everything and I could never really lose weight. All throughout my 20s, I was involved with a lot of extracurriculars on the other side of the aisle. Did a lot of partying, made a lot of messes. And I was always really heavy. And in my 20s, I went back and forth between 550 and 350. Like I could never get below 300 pounds on my own. Like just, it never happened. But if I was, you know, at 350 pounds, I felt really good. Like I felt like I achieved something. I was like, this is healthy. Like I'm good, you know? And in my mind, I was like, if I could just get under 300 pounds, I'll, you know, life will be fucking grand. In 2019, in 2017, I moved to California. In 2019, I was really in the throes of like hardcore drug addiction and food addiction. I won't spend too much time on it, but I was, you know, smoking crack. It was rough. And I was also over 500 pounds. So like it was bad. All around just whatever you had, I'll take. And then in 2019, it just got really bad that I had a plan to kill myself. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go through with it. I didn't know about OA at the time. I didn't think I had a food problem, but I knew I had a drug problem. So I went to AA, and I got sober really quickly. And then my sponsor was like, "You should go to OA," because I gained about 80 pounds in the blink of an eye once I got off the drugs. So I go to an OA meeting, and the first one I went to was in Hollywood. It was a lot of older women who were very tiny talking about sugar, and I was like, I don't got a food problem. If this is a food addiction, you know, I'm good. And then I went to another OA meeting when I met someone. They suggested I go, and it was in Studio City right before the pandemic, and I heard the music, and I heard the same type of language in this meeting that I had heard at an AA meeting, which was like that craving, that obsession, that I can't stop. So I got a sponsor, and then the pandemic hit, and then I just didn't eat. Like, I just starved myself for a pretty long time. I lost my weight really quickly, and I started – like, I was never really honest with the food. I just went to the other extreme of it, and – I ended up slowly taking my will back. But in this time, you know, I met a girl and I got my old job back. When I came here, I was living on a couch. I was, you know, pretty much homeless. But, you know, within, I think it was like a year, I'd gotten a lot of the promises, but I was still miserable and crazy. And then I remember it, June 14th, I was driving through the desert. And I stopped at a gas station and I was talking to a piece of chocolate cake, just like in the just having a conversation with this piece of cake. And then the next day, I actually called a guy who's on this meeting right now and committed to like being abstinent to him, like saying I was, and I just lied. And then the next day, I called my sponsor and I told him, and I got honest. And I didn't leave the rooms, and I didn't gain any of my weight back, but things got really hard when I got honest, because I had to, you know, humble myself, stay in the rooms. Things got rough, and I still didn't work the steps, but what ended up happening was I had a spiritual experience, thank God. It was in 2022. My dad's wife died of COVID, and my stepsister had called me to be like, hey, you got to come, you know, you should come down here and help out. You know, because your dad might also pass away. So they wanted me to come down to Florida, and I didn't know what to do. And I called a bunch of people in program, and they told me to pray. And I was like, that's bullshit. Why don't you tell me what to do? You know, like that's the, you know, you give me direction, I'll do what you say. And I prayed. And then my next job that I was going to, I do like home inspections, was with a woman whose husband was a preacher that had just died of COVID. And on her door or on the mailbox, I always forget what it was, there was a prayer. It was like, it was just like the Serenity Prayer. And then when I walked inside, we just started praying together. And I said to myself, I don't know, like this has to be God. You know, like to me, that was God. That was loud and clear God. And if it wasn't, if, you know, you think it's a coincidence, I don't know, fine. But, it, you know, I heard it as God. And I went down to Florida and I helped my dad, and it was shitty. You know, it wasn't a good time. I had to help him bury a second wife, and it wasn't fun. But I didn't eat over it. I didn't lie about food. I didn't hurt myself, you know, with food over it. And I got through it with the program, with a lot, really just fellows. And before I went down there, I was really angry. I'm still a pretty angry guy, but I was really angry, like crazy, screaming, yelling all the time type of angry. And when I came back, I had a much more appreciative tone for this program. And then I started working the steps. I started listening to my sponsor and I started working the steps, and my life changed completely out of that. Let me backtrack. My life was changing already. I got engaged. I got a house. I was fixing relationships, not just through the amends process, but just in general, like not being a scumbag. And being able to show up for my friends and my family, my life was changing. But I started working the steps, and what that changed was my perception of life, like a lot. And I don't know if that's what, whatever it is, my outlook, my perception of life changed dramatically. And I'm very grateful that I worked the steps, because I got to make amends to people that I never thought I would talk to again. A man I put into jail, a man I stole thousands and thousands of dollars from, and I was able to fix that. And, you know, the guy I stole money from, I was just talking to him today, and we were, you know, just bullshitting about something that has nothing to do with that. The guy that I put into jail, you know, he reached out to me to apologize to me for putting me in that situation. And that was something that I never thought I would be able to, you know, I never thought I'd be able to clean up my side of the street. And that is a gift that I've gotten from program, is being able to show up and be a man of my word. So that's what it was like before. It was a mess. What it was like when I got here, it was a tidier mess. and now what it's like, I try to live the best I can in the steps and in recovery and in program. I sponsor, every morning I write an email that I send out to my sponsor that, you know, I commit my food, I answer three questions, and that really kind of frames my day. Those three questions are, what is going right, what my plan is for the day, and what is keeping me from peace. And for me, what always keeps me from peace is like my body image and my money worries. And it's funny, because ever since getting into program, I've wanted for nothing. Since coming into both AA and OA, and by the way, for AA, it's very interesting. When I got into that program and I asked for help with the drugs and the alcohol, that obsession has been taken away as easy food. It's very difficult. It's a lot harder. I do a lot of work in this program to have the freedom around life and around food that I do. I haven't been to an AA meeting fucking I don't know how long, because it's just not something that I, you know, I'm still an addict. I don't have any interest in, you know, drugs or alcohol. But it's for me, it's kind of a non-issue. When it comes to the food, every day, like it says in the book, I have a daily reprieve based on my, I'm not good at quoting, but based on the condition of my spirituality. And I truly believe that with food. It's really fucking hard. I have a list of alcoholic foods that I do not touch, and I don't have cravings for them. But when it comes to, I also have a very clear quantity-wise commitment that I do. And if I was to tell you that that was easy, that would be a lie. It's hard. I want more food all the time. I want as much food as I can fit on my fucking plate all the time. I heard someone say this, I have a very healthy respect for the food. So I do a lot of work in this program. I do a lot of meetings. I make a lot of phone calls. And that's just, you know, it's just to safeguard it, because I see a lot of people go out in this program. It's very easy to go out. It's very easy to gain the weight back. And as a guy who never knew a healthy body weight until 3 years ago, like I truly feel like I'm living a dream. I feel like I'm living my wildest dream when it comes to at least physically and how I get around in the world. And I had a humbling experience. And also, To kind of put to hammer down that I'm not perfect and I make mistakes all the time. The only thing I do properly is that I don't eat over my problems, and I don't eat more than I commit. But I was just on a cruise. It was a 12-day cruise all around Northern Europe. It was fantastic. I didn't fuck up my food whatsoever. But the first few days I was on that cruise, I did zero program work, and I used it as an excuse. You know, I had an excuse. The time change sucked. I'm tired. Oh man, we're doing this excursion. I can't take a phone call. I can't do this. I had all these excuses, and 3 or 4 days into it, I started getting insatiably hungry, like way hungrier than I ever get at home. And I called my sponsor, and he was like, yeah, what program work have you done? Have you gone to a meeting? Have you done this? And I was like, nope, didn't do any of that. And I'm on a beautiful cruise with my wife. It's, you know, it's picturesque. And then I know people that are back home that are dealing with actual life problems, and they're not hungry because they're committing to program, you know. And I say that as a reminder to myself, and just as like a, you know, just to say it, it takes a lot of work. For me, this takes a lot of work. And, I'm happy that I'm willing to do it. I am willing to do that work, and it sucks to get reminded that I can't coast. I can't just, be like, I'm not gonna do a meeting today. I'll put it off. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it a lot. When I'm cool, I guess I have 5 minutes left, or is that all? Okay. Perfect. I do enjoy program, and I do enjoy the benefits that I get in life. And things are not always perfect. I've experienced death while being in this program, both friends and dear pets. I've experienced some hard times while being abstinent in the last 4 years, and it's not fun. Sucks. It's not great, but it's been it. There was a, I think it was like 2 or 3 months ago. I was sitting on the couch, and I was studying for a test that was really hard, and nothing was going my way at work. It was just a lot of life shit, and it was really fucking difficult. And I just got done eating dinner, and the thought in my head was like, "Damn, I'd like more food right now." And I just kind of laughed at the thought and pushed, the plate, where I took the plate into the kitchen, and just put it in the sink. And for a guy like me, that's not the norm. The norm is we always go for more food. The norm is, yeah, fuck it, I'm just gonna eat. Why not? And I get resentful sometimes that I have to, not that I'm a compulsive overeater. I've accepted that. This isn't the cool club. I don't really give a shit about that. But I get resentful that I have to work a spiritual program around food. That lately has been coming up for me, and like I got 4 years of continuous abstinence. I'm not old timer. I'm still new, according to people that I talk to that have like 20 or 30 years. They're like, "You're still new, but you know, 5 years." So I'm new, but I get resentful in that sometimes, having to work a spiritual program around food, because when I'm not connected, it feels very trite sometimes in my head. Like I feel like, this is fucking bullshit. Why do I gotta fucking do this? But then I get that hunger, and I get that reminder of like, fuck, this is really hard. This is really hard. And my life right now, I should have been dead for so many reasons. I should have been dead a few years ago, and I'm not there. I am a happily married man who gets to show up not just for his wife, but like for his dogs and his friends. I had a friend of mine who lost a grandchild, like really early on in that kid's life. And the first thing I thought to do was like, let me call them and just see how they're doing. And that might be for some people an obvious thing. Like for some people, it's obvious to not eat 12 meals a day, but for me, that's not my instinct. That's not where I go. And I was able to be there for a very good friend of mine who'd been there for me a ton of times. And it again, this all might sound very like, well, yeah, obvious, but for me, it's not obvious. For someone like me, none of this stuff is obvious. I've gotten to grow up in this program. I've gotten to grow up and be a better person, be a better man. And that's all thanks to this program. It's been fantastic and amazing. And I hope I don't ever go anywhere. And I don't know, because nothing is guaranteed in this shit. Nothing is guaranteed. I could go out tomorrow. I certainly hope not. I'm willing to bet I won't, but who the fuck knows? So I hope I've heard it said before. I hope that when this gets really, really hard, I hope I have the willingness, and I hope I stick around, and I hope I have the willingness tomorrow. I pray that I have the willingness tomorrow to wake up, send my email, not lie about food, and be able to show up for whatever God wants me to, do. And I don't think I mentioned that in this whole goddamn share that I have a connection with God that I never I see Garrett. Yeah, no, I didn't even mention God. God's a big part of this. I have a connection with a higher power that I never thought I would have. I grew up kind of like in a religious household, so I never really, when I got older, I was like, yeah, religion is bullshit. I don't believe in God, and I am the exact words in the to the atheist in the big book, it really describes me. And I am grateful that I have a connection with a higher power that I do pray to every morning. My next step is going to be meditation. I don't do that. I hate it. At some point I will do that, I think, but I do pray every morning. So thank you, God, for letting me give you 30 seconds of this fucking lead. That will be all. That will be all I got. Thank you for letting me share.